everyone. This is Ted from Out of This World Radio with my good friends Don and Doug helping me produce my show today. And I'm so glad you could all be here with me. The purpose of this show is to make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that if we all work together, we can and will make this planet a much better and happier world. We have a special guest on today, Santos, and I hope his dad can join us, Augustine. They're from Cusco in Peru, and they are located in Peru, which is a beautiful, beautiful country. I will be going back to Peru this October to take people to Machu Picchu, Cusco, and other sacred spots in the country. I love Peru. The people are so gentle and so kind, and I always have a good time there. If you'd like to come along, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I will also be going to Mount Shasta at the end of June, and then for a couple of weeks at the end of August and in early September this year. I also will be going to Sedona in Arizona from in early May as well as in mid-September. And if you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Sedona and Mount Shasta are beautiful places, and especially in Mount Shasta, we always experience a lot of miracle healings every time we're there. They themselves, the Telosians and Adama in the Mount Shasta, healed my eyesight and gave me a new heart here several years ago, and I've seen lots of miracle healings as well. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit listener-supported program. If you'd like to contribute, anything is appreciated. Please go to my website on BBS Radio at https://bbsradio.com/Out of This World Radio, or you can go to my other website at outofthisworld1150.com and contribute there with the PayPal buttons. Well, it's an exciting time. Santos, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, good.
Only I want to fix camera so I don't see you. I don't know why.
Okay, that's all right. You know, things happen, my friend, you know, and sometimes I'll put in my camera for an interview with the computer, and it'll work 1 minute, and then it'll stop working the next minute, and then it'll work again. So sometimes if I just take the plug out and then you know, kind of like shut the computer off and then re-enter again, sometimes that makes a difference. If you want to do that, I'll just keep talking, and you can just rejoin us too. That's fine too, Santos. Do whatever you need to do to get the camera working. And if you can't get it working, that's okay too. You know, we can just talk like this. This would be fine.
Good afternoon, Death. And good afternoon, other participants. I'm really, really happy. My name is Santos. I'm coming from the Cusco, Peru. And my name is Santos Machaca. And then I'm very happy to participate in the show. You're Death. Okay. Thank you.
Great. It's so good to have you here, my friend. I wanted to let you know I'm planning a trip to come back to Peru in October this year.
And oh, wonderful.
I really hope I can see you and your dad then. I have, there's already people signed up. We post on the trip several times just because of all the problems. But, you know, yeah, but I think Peru should be open by then, and it'll be safe to travel there without any shots or vaccines and face masks and all this other crazy crap that are totally unnecessary. What's it like there now in Cusco where you are? Are things back to normal? Or they still have a curfew and locked everything down?
In Cusco?
Yeah, in Cusco and Peru in general. What's it like there?
Right now it's the... Right now in Cusco, it's okay, but it's different. Okay, sorry.
That's okay, my friend. No worries.
So right now in Cusco, it was sometimes coming up, you know, like when, like sometimes there is, so everybody will have to need vaccination, but sometimes that not, you know, restrictions coming up, but mm-hmm. you know, like everything's changing, you know, so I don't know. We don't get it vaccination, you know?
Right. Right, I know. It's the same thing here too. There's many people protesting in Canada right now because Trudeau, the prime minister, has pushed people so hard, and finally everybody said, "We've had enough." You know,
right?
And there's not like there's over. I think there's over 2 million people in Ottawa now, their capital, and well over, according to some news reports, Santos, over 50,000 trucks. Can you imagine that many trucks? They've also blockaded. Yeah, they've also blockaded the borders between Canada and the U.S. in Detroit, Michigan, in Alberta. There's a couple more places too. So it's an interesting time, and I don't think they're going to stop until Trudeau's gone. I'm looking at Trudeau maybe staying in office, maybe at maximum 3 more weeks. That's it.
So,
So if Mr. Trudeau is listening today, enjoy your time as Prime Minister of Canada, because your days are very short. You're not going to be the Prime Minister very long, my friend. So anyway, enjoy it while you can. You know, you can treat people badly for only so long before they'll stand up and want their freedom back, you know. So anyway, but I think things will turn around for the world and Peru as well.
Right.
How's your dad doing? Is he with you today, Santos?
Yes, he will come very soon. But if you want to do, yes.
Okay, great.
He's doing well. Yes.
Oh, okay, good. Good. Well, I'd like to, I know that, you know, normally, you know, you have a lot of people visiting you from different countries. And I know that's been hard recently. It'd be nice if you could get the camera going so you could do a ceremony. And I would also like to get some fundraising for you too, because I know you rely upon, you know, work. It's probably hard to do.
Can you, can you go back to, maybe I can leave this one and maybe I can get it again.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't you go ahead and get off, remove yourself, just leave, and then just connect again and I'll keep talking. Okay.
Okay. Great.
Great. Okay. Go ahead. Santos and Augustine, I met through Emmanuel Eiter. He's a famous French Hollywood film producer, and he produces spiritual films. Emmanuel's a good friend of mine. He will be giving a presentation at my Galactic Wisdom Conference next month, March 12th and 13th, 2022. And I hope you all can participate. The cost is just $55 for the entire weekend, and we'll have a lot of fun, I guarantee it. It'll be by Zoom, so no matter where you are, you'll be able to participate and look as well and listen to everybody for all of their presentations. I really like Santos and his father Augustine. They come from a village high up in the Andes, and it takes them, I think, about 13 hours to get there by truck over long roads and hiking in. And they have an amazing story to tell. They were featured in Emmanuel Eiter's film called, I think it was called The Trek, and it talked about indigenous people in Peru, and they were isolated in a mountain village up until 1947, when their family came, when people from their tribe finally came out and showed themselves to the world. They had been in isolation since 1530s when the Spanish came, and they still speak their native tongue today, Quechua, which is a beautiful language. And oh, good, we've got a picture. How wonderful! So I'm so glad that you've got a picture. Oh, good. Okay, great. Don, we might want to change this to now to gallery view so we can see Santos as well. That'd be great. Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay. Thanks, my friend. Let me see if I can. Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Don. Appreciate it. There we go. Great. Okay. Great. But you're not, I can see you, Santos, but you're turned to the right.
How can I do this?
I don't know. You can stand on your head. Do you want to stand on your head? That way, then we could see you.
That's okay. So you go ahead as you just, and then I will try to fix. Okay.
Please. Okay. Yeah. You just need to turn the camera. You know, there's two ways you can do it. You can try to do it on the computer, or you can stand on your head. So, But that would be don't ink it. But we can see you, you know, we can see you at any rate. So Santos, tell me what okay, there you go. Tell me what do you and your dad see for humanity this year in the coming years? And I'd love to hear any messages you may have from Pachamama or from the spirits of the mountains there, or anything would be great.
Oh, I don't know what I do.
That's okay. Just keep your light on. At least we can see you before, even though you're turned on a 90-degree angle. It's fine. Anyway, Santos, you're okay. Just keep it like that. That's something anyway. Yeah, that's something anyway. Now the light's off again. If you could keep your light on, my friend, then we could see you. Yeah, just keep it like that. That's fine.
Can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you. Fine. It's fine. Let's just keep that. That's something anyway. Okay, we've lost your video again. There, just keep it like that. Okay, Santos, that works out. Okay. Tell me, my friend, what do you and your dad see for the coming year? And love some messages from the spirits there. Okay, Santos, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, I would leave the camera alone for now because, you know, as long as we can hear you and see you this way, this is fine. Now you're upside down. Okay, there you go. Perfect. Finally. Okay, hi, my friend.
Oh, that's really good. Now I'm happy because I was not really...
Yeah, you're really... fine. You're fine.
Oh, now okay. You can see.
Okay, I can see you fine. What do you see happening this year? Are there messages you'd like to give my audience, Santos?
Yes, so I will invite my father. I looked up it.
Okay, that's great.
Wow.
Hi, Augustine. Nice to see you, my friend.
Okay, so we can start now because I was really not concentrated because I'm like this.
It's fine.
Things was like clear, you know?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, so what's your question?
What do the spirits say about what's happening now and this year, my friend?
Okay, just 1 second because my father is bringing share.
Okay, that's all right. That's okay. Sure. Anyway, I'll continue talking. In 1947, people from Santos and Augustine's village came out to the West finally, and they had been in isolation for I think something like a little over 400 years. Without any contact with the West. And I thought that was just amazing to be able to be isolated that long. As I said before, their village is 13 hours away from Cusco. And it's amazing the knowledge they have, the wisdom they have, and they haven't been tainted at all by the West. The village is still very isolated. It takes a full day to get there. And anyway, I'd love some any messages from the spirits would be great from your dad Santos or yourself or your mom would be wonderful.
Okay, great.
Everything's fine on the technical side, so.
Okay, great. So can you see us both?
Yeah, it works fine, my friend. So let's, you know.
I just say like this double questions, you know. Can you see us in the image? Me and my father. Can you see us?
Yes, we can see you fine, Santos. Does your father have any messages from the spirits about this year and what's happening around the world?
I'm not sure if you're going to be able to do this.
something. Jadi bahkan orang aning kaya pada guna aning di pada mama jisu. Apa guna pada mama kaya tuan jasa ibu sebelum kau sabun lagi. Malah hilang emai malah di sebelum dia tu emai malah pasal semua orang dia malah kata dia tu emai emai malah pasal semua. Aji kini sebelum sama.
So my father said about like what's this bird say about this, what's happening in the world?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My father's day, it's like, it's kind of feeling and then this feeling and then talking to him, help spirits, you know, like in this world, it's happening so much, you know, like negative spirits happening and making so much like things to, you know, people's self, you know, happening. They're not like, believe the Mother Earth, the mountain spirit, and then so many things happening in this world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sure. Is it because we're having this happen now? Is the reason, part of the reason is because perhaps society and many countries are out of balance with nature? Do you think that's part of it?
So my father, the reason happened this, it's the these things happening in this world because so many different countries, it's out of balance, you know, like this is like imbalance, many, like my father said, it's like 80% of people doesn't believe Apache mountain spirits. And then like all the knowledge and spirits and then the universe and Mother Earth. But just only like 20% of the people, you know, in this world, like they're respectful of Pachamama, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That he feels.
Interesting. Now, just to explain this to my listeners, Pachamama, of course, means the mountain spirits. Is that right, Santos?
Yes, the Pachamama means the Mother Earth, the Earth.
Okay.
And then the mountain spirits means like the highest mountains, like we call like high mountains, snow-capped mountains. Mm-hmm. Because in this, our traditions, it's we believe the mountain god. It's uh-huh. from the Inca time. And then we're just following, you know, like ancestors, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. we're coming from the, for the Incas, uh-huh. you know, like we're society from the Inca, you know.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I have an idea. Your father and you and your mom, they do beautiful peace. They do beautiful ceremonies, don't they? And yes. And with flowers and all kinds of things. And I've been there before where you had a ceremony, and you can do it for peace or love. Does your dad still do those?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I should have asked you before coming on air, but maybe what we could do is to we'll have our interview today, but maybe in a week I could have you back again, and I could get some donations together to send to you, so we could do one for world peace and freedom here on this planet in harmony. Would he?
Yes.
Could he do that? We could do it, and we could make sure the camera's good, and we could see what you're doing. I think that would be nice for everyone around the world to participate in that.
Yes, my father. I will ask, I will let him talk, you know, to him.
Okay.
Okay, so my father say, so how, hopefully you can see him very well, you know, in the image.
I can, his dad, your dad could move over just a little bit. just a closer to you. Just perfect. That's better. Okay, that's great. Thank you. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So my father said, my father is very able to make offerings and peaceful and harmony and then helping this planet.
Okay.
And then people are participating in this ceremony, can do blessings and sending prayers and making calling the mountain spirit to help. Whatever they have like intention to cleanse out, they can do everything.
Okay. And also for freedom as well, because people want freedom now.
Yes, the freedom, of course.
Well, I have a great idea. Maybe next Saturday, would that be okay if I brought you on then?
I cannot say right now, but I will confirm as soon as I possible.
So okay,
it works.
That's great. And then if they'd like to send a small donation to my friends here, just send it to me, and I'll make sure that that Santos and you and your father Augustine get it. On PayPal, just use my email address, outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I'll make sure they get it. And it'd be a nice donation for them, and they do a beautiful, I've seen their spiritual ceremonies before. Santos, could you ask your father, what kinds of things go into one of his ceremonies?
What kind of things?
Yeah, what does he use? Like flowers and
all
kinds of things. Yeah.
So my father used like a lot of ingredients, like seeds, candies, and everything, mostly seeds and cocoa leaves and flowers, mm-hmm. like many other things and flowers, but every single ingredient signifies something. It's from the Inca time. And so this is like everything, every single thing. When we are doing ceremony, you know, sending like every link with intention and the blessing and freedom.
Okay, wonderful. That sounds wonderful. Yeah, that would be great if he could do that. I've seen his ceremonies before, and it's amazing how they work.
Right.
Oh, well, thank you, my friend. That's so kind of you. We're getting a donation in. Don, thank you to $100 for you and your father for the ceremony. So that's wonderful. Thank you, Don. That's so kind of you. That's so kind of you. Well, how long do you think this period will last, Santos and Augustine? From what does the Pachamama's spirit say about that?
About what?
About how long this time of you know, imbalance and you know, all the lockdowns and everything else, how long do you think that will last?
Dishan, where can I get them book perhaps in the gang as Unairas? You mean he has such a good gang, you mean?
I'll
check on what you man at Dishan. I get them brought in gang.
So
my father says he asked his spirit about, you know, like how long it lasts to fix it, this world, you know? You know, like to be more like the balance, you know, but it's like, I think it's around like maybe like more like, say like maybe 6-7 years more or less, you know, because it's still like it's out of balance because it's people who are not like connected, people who are like not believe in mother, it's difficult for people to change.
Yeah.
Which is people are like believe we need to have to do work, so much hard work to help this planet, and this way we can do much change, you know, but it takes time.
Right. Okay, sure. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, well, yeah, thank you so much, my friend, for your support, Don. Really appreciate it. Well, so you're looking at several years it'll take to change that much, huh? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. You know, hold on here. But at the end of the time, when we go after this period is over with, we should be living in a very peaceful and beautiful planet, should we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But it takes time, while you know, not recent.
Right.
But like, for example, my father was saying, like, in the beginning, mm-hmm. I think it was like first question, you know, like most like 80% people in this world, they are really disconnected in this like, yeah, and like knowledge and like from the spirit, the Mother Earth, the mountains, because they did not believe so much. They just believe like for the self, like more like destroying planet, you know, like just my companies, you know. Right. Just, you know, like work. So, but like only like 20% of the people in this world, I guess, like different cultures in the world, different countries in the world, they do work, you know, they much like giving offerings from Mother Earth, Mountain Spirit, mm-hmm. but need to go like when people comes like 50-50, can like the world can change it and help like the balance. Mm-hmm. That's it, going to be take time.
Interesting. Yeah, but we can change. I know, you know, my friends, and the good changes are coming too. It's yeah, good changes are coming. You know, I was gonna say when I come to Cusco and when I see you in October, I'd love to see you in October when I come. If I could spend some time with your dad, I'd love to. And maybe he could teach me some things about talking to the Pachamama and other spiritual things. If he had time, I would be.
Yes, he's really happy, you know, like teaching you and then how you can connect it and how you can communicate with the spirit of the mountains and then Mother Earth.
Okay.
He's really happy, you know, like initiating and then blessing, making it really connected with those spirits.
Okay. Okay. Well, my guides tell me too, and I wanted to ask you about this. They say that by October, August, September, October, in that time frame, that the vibrations of the planet will be much higher by then and we'll be going into a new higher dimension. Does your father see that, by the way?
High dimension, what do you mean?
Like the fourth dimension. We'll be going in, the vibrations of the planet are rising and we should be, things should be better by this fall. That's what they said, anyway.
Yes, so my father said it's really, you can feel that also, like with this spirit, the Mother Earth and everything will change, not now. It's much more normal and then much more vibration, you know, like the highest. But this is the time now, it's growing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, great. Wow, that's amazing. What is, Augustine and Santos, what is life like in your village? how many people live there? And I know it's a long ways from Cusco. I'm interested if you could tell us a little bit about your village up in the Andes Mountains.
So in this mountain, it's 7 hours by car, and then depending, still 2 hours walk. And then this village, it's only like 150 family lives, but probably all together with the kids, everything, around 600 something. And it's high mountain, you know, like 15,000 feet high mountain.
15,000 feet. Oh my goodness. Wow.
It's high.
Wow.
We are living like between very close to glacier mountains. And then also we are close to high jungle, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So between.
Wow. Well, don't mind me. I hope you don't mind me asking this question, but I have to ask. Don, you were reading my mind. Do you ever see any UFOs up there, or maybe visitations from advanced civilizations where you live?
Can you repeat, please?
Sure. Up in your village there, do people see UFOs in the sky flying around? Any spaceships or anything in the sky interesting? Or do you get visitors from other civilizations at your village?
No, we don't really see that.
Okay. Interesting. Wow. The people in your village, do they all live together as one family union? I mean, each family that all the people live together, right? They don't separate out like here in the West.
So, for example, the people of the family lives very close.
Right.
Of course, we have individual home, but we live each other, you know, helping each other every day, mostly every day. Uh-huh. Not like very from far away.
That's nice.
Tired?
No. Just had a long day, but a good day. I enjoy doing this work. Yeah. Yeah. My Saturdays, I broadcast for many hours. So, but, what kind of food? Talk about the corn there. Does the village grow corn? And are there different kinds of corn there growing in Peru?
So I can talk mostly about where we're coming from, you know, the village. Mm-hmm. So we have corn, but the growth in the jungle. Mm-hmm. But we have to walk like 6 hours walking down the jungle. And then when we harvest, we have to bring 10 hours, always steep, high, you know, come. But from going down, it's steep down. So mostly llama transport corn. And then we have many types of potatoes. There's like 200 types of potatoes. And then we have like mostly potatoes we produce.
Really? How fascinating. Do you have purple? Are there different colors of potatoes, like purple potatoes or red potatoes? Or I'm not sure what to ask, but yellow potatoes. Do they have different colors, the potatoes?
So we have like many different, you know, purple, pink, white, and then black, every different colors. And then this can be like rectangular and then like more, I don't know how to can they say in mm-hmm. English.
Uh-huh.
So then different
rectangular different. Potatoes, really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Not rectangular, but just like this, you know?
Uh-huh. Thin. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yes. Now, yes. Each one of these different potato groups, are they different in taste? Do they give you different nutrients?
Yes, different tastes and different nutrients. And some is like more like very flavors. It's really nice. And then other potatoes only you can just peel. Other potatoes we don't peel, you know, uh-huh. just to cook like this.
Uh-huh. Wow. Interesting. Wow. In our stores here in North America, we have red potatoes, yellow potatoes, and just kind of regular brown potatoes, but that's it. You know, you don't see much of a variety anywhere. So.
Great.
Wow. Interesting. So when you cultivate the corn, it's organic, isn't it? To ask a stupid question. I mean,
everything is organic. We don't use any chemicals. Until now.
That's good. That's good.
Even corn, even potatoes. Everything is natural. Just we use like alpaca down, the cow down, you know.
Sure.
Not other things.
I see. Well, that's wonderful, my friend. That's wonderful. Do you eat meat at the village too, or is it mostly vegetarian diet?
We eat meat mostly. We don't so much vegetarian.
I see. Okay. Interesting.
Okay. Just 2 minutes. I have to just, my daughter's calling. Okay.
Okay. That's fine. That's totally fine. Hi, Augustine. Hola. Now, Augustine, do you speak? I'll see if I can do this. Quechua, is that right? Quechua?
Sí.
Quechua. I see. That's the only, no Spanish. Español? No? Un poquito? Okay.
Una ya tengo el de mi padre en casa. Quechua tarimán. Vamos a hablar quechua.
Wow. Amazing. Wow. How do you like Cusco?
Cusco.
Cusco, isn't it good?
Sí.
You see? Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, tell me, my friend Augustine, is the weather cold there now? Do you have snow in Cusco? Okay, that's all right. We'll wait till your son comes back. No worries. Yeah. Well, they're beautiful people, and I'm so happy you could come on to be with us today. I was asking your father, Santos, what is the weather like there now? Do you have snow on the ground, or is it fairly warm? What's it like?
Where, in Cusco, in Queros?
Oh, in both.
Yeah, Cusco is lower, you know, only like 13,000 feet.
Okay.
So in Queros is 16, 15. Mm-hmm. So it's different now. It's rain season in Peru. We're in Cusco. So it's mostly raining every day, nonstop. So it's very muddy, and then water is everywhere. It's not dry.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And then also snowing mostly every day.
Snowing? Up in your village, it's snowing every day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. And then also it's very cloudy.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Wow. Wow. That's interesting. Wow. Probably during your summer, then you grow your food and then you store it for the winter, right?
Yes. So, and then winter we harvest, but now it's like mostly it's like potatoes, they're green, flowering green. And then summer we harvest, and then we store it around for enough 1 year. And then all same thing for cooking stuff, you know, like the wood and dry wood, we keep it. And then we store it to cook in rain season.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Wow. That's great. Wow. What is the... Is the food different in Cusco as compared to your village?
Absolutely very different, because in this, our tradition, our community, people doesn't eat so much sugar, not bread, not like sweet things, not soda, not everything. It's very different, you know, in Cusco, it's food different. And people up there, they didn't use oil, you know, they use like fat, alpaca fat, you know, those things.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's more natural.
Interesting. Have you seen any Sasquatch up there? Bigfoot? Chartreuse?
What?
They look like they're they can be usually hairy. They're a little taller than we are. They're not apes, but they're a cross between humans. They're very old, about 200,000 or 300,000 years old. They're called Sasquatch, Bigfoot. We call them here in North America. Do you see those there? Have you heard stories about them?
No, but we know history about like pre-Incan people, like
about
mummies.
What people? Sorry,
pre-Incan people.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, like. That we know, like inside a like cave, inside the rocks, there's like mummies and bones, like a sitting, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
But they have a life, you know.
Right.
So somehow they come back. Sometimes affected you something somehow, but This is pre-Incan people, like you know, like we know the history about, you know, like before the Inca, they was. People living in Keros, it's not tall, it's shorter people, but they live only, they have light and moon, but moon, it's moon first and later after came sun. And when sun came out, these people was really sensitive and then they started dying, you know, like for them was like a fire. The sun was fire and everybody, they running away, they go like the mountains inside a cave, they die. That's the way six exist, you know.
Oh my gosh. Well, that must have been it. Wow. That must have been a long time ago. Where did these people come from? Do you know what did people talk about in your village? Where do you know where they came from?
They say they came in from the moon, you know.
From the moon. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But the Incas came from the stars. We know that. we are coming from the stars. Maybe there's mostly people, maybe they come, but maybe other religion, other indigenous group, maybe they same, you know, because the Incas came from the stars, from the Pleiades.
From the stars. Wow. That's from the Pleiades. That's wonderful.
Yeah from the Seven Sisters.
Oh, the Seven Sisters. Okay. Yeah. That's fascinating. Tell us, if you can, tell us more about that. That's fascinating. What kinds of things do they talk about, the Pleiades?
You know, like seven different stars, they come always together, like seven different Pleiades.
Mm-hmm.
So they came first, like the Incas started coming from the Pleiades, from the South America, which is arrived to Bolivian side, and then started coming from Puno area, which is the Lake Titicaca.
Oh yeah. Right.
And then they like, but two Incas came, you know, one female, one male.
Okay.
But they started like building like the city Inca in Lake Titicaca, but somehow came like flooding, you know, water. But they found like way to come to Cusco, and then they went to Cusco and they started. Building like the starting like spread all the Incas, you know, like growing like all the different communities, like more and more Incas.
Wow, that's fascinating. How long ago did the Pleiadian people come to where you are?
So probably we don't know exactly, but at around like 1,000 years.
Okay. Wow. Okay. All right. You know, I had a previous lifetime in Inca, and that's why I think I'm really like the area because of that background. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. Interesting. Wow. Fascinating. Do you think things will get better, but it'll be slow. Is that what your dad said?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Russian did cook in Tangerine.
Yeah. Russian did cook in Tangerine.
Yeah. What is life like now in Cusco? Are all businesses shut down? What is it like there? Is there a curfew? Are things open there now in Cusco?
About like with this pandemic, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, can people travel around, or are they all shut down, or?
Yeah, now it's starting getting normal. Like people traveling, going to Machu Picchu, but not so. There's coming like foreigners, like visitors from other countries, but not normal. But I think it's going to be normal in a few months, you know. But yeah, people coming. But some people are nervous, doesn't want to travel. But there is Machu Picchu, it's open, you know. Yeah, everything is. Yeah, mostly like people from Lima, they're coming to visit. Mostly like national parks, you know. It's everything is starting again open.
That's good. Oh, that's nice. I'm glad to hear that. That's wonderful. No. I know when I was in Cusco 2 years ago, lots of different tourists from many different parts of the country, and it was nice. It was very pleasant. I had a wonderful time, but it must have been hard on you and your family not having people visiting Cusco.
For us, only we work the tourists, and then also I'm mountain guide, so I don't have any clients yet, you know, since even they are coming, the visitors for other countries, but it's coming slowly, you know, but I don't have my clients yet.
So I see.
It's very difficult.
I see. Well, when I get to Cusco this October, I'll hire you as my mountain guide. Okay, you can take me to some places if you want. That would be fun. So
yes,
yeah, I'd enjoy that. So, by the way, I talked to your friend Emmanuel Eiter the other day. He says hello. He's doing fine. That was a couple of weeks ago. I spoke to him, so I wanted to give you his regards to you.
Oh, you talked with Emmanuel.
Yeah, I did. I did talk to him. Yeah, I did. We're friends. So anyway.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. He did a film on you and your dad, I remember, a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Yes, in Carol's in the Village.
Uh-huh. Right. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. The village, you said there's high jungle there. So is the Amazon close to where you are in the village, or how far is the Amazon away from you?
So, for example, we live in 14,000 feet high snow.
Okay.
So we have like, I can say like 21, 22 feet, meters, feet, the mountain's highest mountain.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to, from where we live, where our house, it's going, you can just going down. It's starting maybe where we live. Walk 3 hours and then like jungle starts, like, and then continuing all the way to like Maldonado, Puerto Maldonado, like jungle.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah.
Are there other native groups, native peoples that live in the jungle?
Yeah, there's native jungle people lives here, but also it's Keros. So jungle Keros and the mountain Keros. We are mountain Keros.
I see. Interesting.
Yeah.
How are the jungle Keros different from the mountain people?
It's very different. It's almost like indigenous, but they have a history. They live mostly in jungle, and they work mostly ayahuasca ceremonies. Do you know ayahuasca?
Oh yeah, I know about ayahuasca. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's their word. And then they were like just without the clothes, you know.
Oh, without clothes. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I thought it was a good idea to wear clothes today, so that's why I have my clothes on. So anyway, interesting. Okay. All right. But what elevation do they live at? They don't live at 14,000 or 16,000 feet.
No, they've varied so like almost very far away from them, so probably I can see maybe.
I see. Interesting. Maybe. Interesting.
For how? For 400 feet.
400 feet. Wow, really? How far is your village from Brazil?
Well, far away. I don't know. It's far away.
Far.
Yeah, okay. Very far away.
It's far away. Okay, interesting. All right. Are you close to Venezuela or other Colombia? Any countries, other countries up where you are?
I think we're close to Peru. At the Portimão, that's very close to Brazil.
It's what? Sorry. It's what again? Sorry.
Puerto Maldonado is still Peru, but it's close to Brazil.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. All right. All right. Tell me, if you don't mind me asking, Santos, about the hat you and your father are wearing. What is that called, the hat you're wearing? That's a traditional hat, right?
Yes, so we're like traditional hat. This is hat with the beads, and my father is also without the beads, but this is more ceremonial hats. So
I see.
Wearing this, yeah.
I see, I see. Well, what I'd like to ask everyone, and thank you, Don, so much for your wonderful donation, if you don't mind sending some contributions, and you can send them to me, I'll give them 100% to Augustine and Santos, and just use PayPal if you want to. My email, which is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and designate it for my friends in Peru. And I'll send those donations on to them, and I'd like to make a donation so you could make like a peace offering for peace and harmony on the planet. And you can check your schedule. If next weekend doesn't work out, we could do it, another time. But then I know it takes some time for your father to put this together. You could have it ready so the people could see it on the camera, if that's okay. Just as an offering that people could enjoy and appreciate with you.
So probably my father, he can help, like, he can do like a little bit faster. It's like about like 55 minutes, almost 1 hour.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay, that's great.
So right now, my father, he really wants to do prayers with the coca leaves, with the quintos, with three coca leaves actually represent three worlds, like Hanapacha, Kipacha, Okupacha, which is upper world, middle world, and lower world.
Okay.
So he wanted to do coca leaf blessing for you, and then or participate in this screen right now.
Okay.
Okay. So you just do meditating, close your eyes, it's very important.
Okay. All right.
How do I even say
death?
I'm gonna give away and just I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna talk with the home building, limber, I'm gonna limber, the home son of limber. I'm gonna give Montonte or gonna patch a mama, so my high very gigula. Hanach patcher, key patcher, patcher. I'm gonna so much that gonna give pajama to be good to go to go to go to go to go to pajama, mama pajama. I'm gonna go with high.
Muchas gracias. Thank you so much, our death.
My pleasure, Augustine and Santos. You're very special people, and we here in the West, unfortunately, we've lost that. Some of us, anyway, have lost the connection to Pachamama and Mother Earth. But your work helps people reestablish it. So let me bring in my friend Carolyn. Are you there? Can you hear us? Okay.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, great.
That was beautiful ceremony. I felt the energy.
Isn't that nice? Are there any questions you'd like to ask my good friends, Santos and Augustine?
Oh, I think one of the things that I'm curious about because we were talking about helping, you know, bring clean water to not only the Hopi and the Navajo, but we've also been working with bringing clean water to Peru and other parts of the world. And one of the things is that there's a legend about the eagle and the condor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you can comment on that, because there's the cultures, the indigenous cultures have a thread running through them that it's all about, well, again, it's connection with Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if there's a similar type connection. I know there's one between the Tibetans and the Hopi as well.
So yes, like high indigenous level, we know like the hearing like history and our grandfathers, you know, like one time was going to the gathering, like which is the eagle from the north and the condor from the Andes from the south, you know. So it's gonna be one like gathering, like you're making your union to work together. Even there are different the elders, different group indigenous, you know, you said like Navajo, it's from the India, so some different in religious or the indigenous, but also there is indigenous for our tribe in Peru, you know.
Is there also a tradition? I know that in the ancient Hindu and Tibetans, they talk about energy centers, chakras, and the Hopi also talk about these energy centers or chakras, where as the Hindus talk about the six or seven major chakras, I mean there's thousands of them, the Hopis refer to five of them, but they all talk about like the crown chakra, the third eye, the throat, and especially the heart chakra as an energy center. Is there such a tradition amongst you in Peru as far as the like a chakra or energy systems?
Yes, you know, like, and then our traditions, our tribe, the tradition of like practicing three different chakras. So for example, it's crown, it's represent, it's like learning. And then second chakra, which is like a direction, it's like the heart, like unconditional level, unconditional, which means munai, but where our wallet button, which is like the liankai, which is the work, mm-hmm. even like mostly spiritual work, but also like physical work. So mostly they work like three different chakras.
Wow, fascinating. It's fascinating how everything that all of these beautiful, I call them esoteric teachings, are all interrelated. And it's just, we're so thankful that you are preserving these and that you and your father are still in touch with these teachings, because we've lost a lot in the West. And I think that it's important that we remember this connection to Mother Earth, to all of these teachings, this wisdom teachings.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What I'd like to do, I'll let you know my dates when I'll be there in Cusco in October, but I'd love to spend some time with your dad, maybe a week, and then going up to his village too would be wonderful. So
sure.
Would 2 weeks be enough time to do that extra?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, we've got plenty of time to plan. So, and I do see things getting better this year, and I can't think of a better place than being in Cusco in Peru, visiting you and your family. So, yes. Well, anyway, what a special time to have you on my show today. And for the peace ceremony and for the harmony ceremony, love ceremony, we can have it anytime. It could be next week, or it could be on a Saturday, or even a Monday for that matter. Whatever works for you is fine with me. So
I think what happens too is that all of these, we talked about the morphic field earlier today.
Right.
And I think that all of these, like doing a ceremony like this, it echoes. It's like dropping a pebble in a pond, and right. that echoes throughout the field, the energy field, whatever you want to call it, that interconnects all of us. So that when you have this ceremony, that it not only impacts at this moment, and it also radiates out onto the planet. And I think that is very, it's something that it's like these ceremonies keep on giving, which I appreciate, and they touch many people.
Right, they do. That's true. That too. And then, of course, on the show, we'll be able to we'll be broadcasting worldwide, so it'll have a good effect, I think.
Oh, yes, yes.
What a wonderful idea. What a wonderful idea. And again, for anyone who'd like to submit a donation to that, all the money, 100% of the money is collected, will go right to Santos and Augustine. My PayPal email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can just send a donation to me, Ted Marr, at P.O. Box 5331. Let's see, Lacey, Washington, 98509-5331. Either one's fine. Santos and Augustine, do you have any final messages from Pachamama or the spirits today? You can give my listeners
any message.
Yeah, any message, any more messages you might have.
Okay, ima min sakita nyo pan sa pachama man ko sa wana lahi match. Nyo pan sa pagnama. Nyo pagnama ka ino ki pachama man ta ka ki pachama man sa mahta. Manyar ki anji na ta pana nyo pan sa ita nyo pan sa ita bisus ta ikusun jis. Nyo pishan ni tungo ki bata pinje. Ki pachama man ta ki na pasa. Huwis pa nyo kunis pa sa mahta pachama man ta manya ko kaku.
Okay, so like we're like message from Pachamama, like it's important to know. It's kind of like needs to believe the Mother Earth that have needs meditations. It's the kind of recommendation when we get it message from the Mother Earth and Mountain Spirit. So we can share the people needs to go in the back to how was it like for the ancient time. So to believe on the making offering preserve like preserve like a more making starting connecting the Pachamama meditations for Mother Earth for help so change the life.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Don, do you have any questions for my guest today? Okay, great. Don. Well, anyway, I appreciate both of you so much for coming on today. I know I didn't give you much notice. I think I wrote you yesterday and you wrote me right back. So, anyway, I'll send you the donations that come in this week, and then just let me know about, it can be either Saturday or Monday, or really any time that's good for you. We can just do a pre-record too. That works too, if that's easier for you. That could be scheduled really any time. And then, if you could put the camera in the area where you lay out your ceremony, that would be good too. So we could watch that. I've seen you do it before, so anyway.
Great, thank you so much. So, yeah, very appreciate for everybody who was helping. Thank you so much in this difficult time for us. It's so much, so big help, you know. So, thank you, everybody. Thank you so much, Beth, to make this happen. So today they invited us this meeting. So, thank you so much for your supporting. Okay,
It's all my pleasure, my friend. I guess I got one more question I just thought of. How does your village and the people in your village look at water? Do they look at it as sacred? How do they look at water?
So people, that's very respectful in the mountain water, because water is very clean and very pure. Uh-huh. And so people are very respectful of water because they work water, do cleansings, you know, heavy energy. So it's very respectful.
Sure.
It's water.
Sure.
Because all the water comes from the snow, but also it's a water stream, you know. So water, it's really good, important for us.
Mm-hmm. I know Dr. Amato got along well with people from different native cultures because they understood the significance of water and looked at it as something very sacred. So that's great.
Water is life.
Water is life. And
agua es la vida.
You see, agua es la vida.
La vida. Wow, that's wonderful. And you know what Dr. Amato used to say from this is from Michiko, that God is water and water is God. So I thought that was a beautiful comment too, you know.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then how's Michiko?
She's in Japan. She can't travel, but I mean, she travels within Japan, but you know, she continues to do her work and she does a lot of it on Zoom, like we're doing today, you know, but I think that'll change by the end of the year. I think things will open up. What's really changed in North America anyway, and I think worldwide, has been the Canadian truckers, what they're doing. You know, there's like over 2 million people now in Ottawa, Canada, which is their capital, and over 50,000 trucks. And the border, the border, cargo trade between Canada and the United States is probably, what would you say, 90% down. It's been stopped at many places because trucks have blockaded Ottawa. The whole town is frozen. They've blockaded, I don't know how many
borders across the border, but
blocked it off. So no truck traffic. So it's just a matter of how long, you know, this corrupt government in Canada wants to hang on. I don't see them lasting more than 3 weeks. So
yeah, there's a 25% of the traffic between the United States and Canada goes through the Ambassador Bridge, which is between Detroit and Windsor, and that has been closed down this last week. Some of the main grain providing from Manitoba, the main border there at Emerson, Manitoba, and between that and North Dakota, that's been blocked off. Coots, Alberta, which is another good, there's a lot of cattle and grain that goes through there. That's been blocked off. And I guess there's another, the U.S. truckers now are massing at Port Huron, the bridge there, and blocking things off. So it is, it's definitely a very strong movement. And incidentally, Mexico right now, everything is totally wide open in Mexico. There's no restrictions.
Life is
normal, and it's fine. It's fine there, but it's definitely we're actually seeing things, shelves and different products becoming a challenge to get. Especially a lot of our paper comes from Canada, and the supplies are running low. So we're definitely seeing the effects of it.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that Trudeau had a press conference on, he was complaining that he wasn't able to get enough baby diapers for himself. I don't know. I guess he wears them, but they're imported in. He hasn't been able to get his supplies. So I feel sorry for him. I don't know what to tell him. Maybe he could take some of those. They wear masks. You know, we can pair some of those masks around him. I don't know, but that's his problem. So anyway. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing. Okay.
Okay, my friends. Well, we'll be in touch, my friends. Much love to both of you, and say hello to your mom and your village too, my friends. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help and your. Okay.
Okay, my friend. We'll be in touch, and I look forward to seeing you this October too.
Okay. Great.
Okay,
adios.
My friends. Adios, amigos. All right. Bye-bye, Augustine. Bye-bye, Santos. Much love. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So you guys continue and ready to show?
Okay, yeah. You go ahead. I'm going to keep talking, so.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wonderful people, Carolyn. Wonderful people.
Oh, yes.
I'm so glad that they could come on today. I never know about the internet connections, anyway, I'm so glad they're there. And I want to thank Don, too, for his contribution. If you'd like to send a contribution, any amount would be appreciated for Augustine and Santos. You can use PayPal on my email, outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can just send any amount you like to me, Tedmar, P.O. Box 5331, Lacey, Washington, 98509-5331. Well, we've had an amazing show today. I hope you, Carolyn, don't you think?
Yes.
It's so much fun. And
it is such a privilege to talk to Santos and his father. And I think that, the work of the people around the world, whether they be us, the indigenous people, we're all really one family.
Yeah,
we're all really part of the one, and we all need to put our energy in. And I think that it's what is so special is that, like Santos and his father, they are able to focus prayers, their energy, and their ceremonies are dedicated, and it's almost like using a laser sharp focus to produce these results. I mean, we've seen the things with the Hopi. I've seen them do rain dances, and the rain falls afterwards.
Right, it does.
So there's a lot to how their intention and their energy that we could all take a lesson from them in manifesting, because they have that very long tradition, and it's something that it isn't taught in schools and reading and writing. It's something that is passed on from generation to generation.
That's right.
It's very, very empirical. So I really appreciate that you have them on the show, and that you know them. And like Emmanuel has produced what was the movie
the
that
Trekker.
He had?
The Trekker. Yeah. They were in his film. He took a film crew from Hollywood up there. And they all had to, what it was, they had to go 7 hours by truck, back of a truck.
Yes.
Then they had to hike another 3 or 5 hours. I forget.
Wow.
But they made it, they made it up there with all the camera equipment and everything.
That's
one way. That's not round trip. That's one way.
One way. Yeah, I know it is.
It's way up there.
Well, there's some roads that I know when Leon McLaughlin was talking about, I think it was in Bolivia that they went to a remote village, and he showed pictures of the road that they took it. And he said if he would have known what the road was like,
he would have had a will made out before going on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, it was just, it's just this little, one lane dirt thing that's carved in the side of the mountains. And it's quite, which is in some respects nice. It's kept the sightseers out.
Oh my God! When I was in Cusco 2 years ago, it's about 2 years ago, a little more, about 2 years ago, a little more than 2 years ago. There's a place called Pizac, which is an Indian village outside of Cusco. It's in the Sacred Valley, what they call the Sacred Valley, and just outside, just before you come to Pizac. There's the taxi driver stopped. I was with some part of my group, and we looked over, and what the driver said, there's where the UFOs land, and they actually have a base. It's benevolent. I think it's Pleiadian base, but you can see the ships going in and out, he said. And actually we did see some ships flying in there. But they got a big base, and there was also lots of, thunder coming that day we were there, but it was an amazing place. The energy was really high. And really enjoyed being there.
I don't think that was thunder. That was probably the engines powering up.
coming down for to visit. But it's a beautiful place. And I was concerned about Peru because they locked that whole country down like everywhere else. But I know it's a beautiful place and well worth the trip. Well worth the trip.
Have you been to that area in Peru where there's the walls that are so tightly fit together? It looks like they're laser cut.
Yeah. There's a place It's in the hills above Peru, above Cusco. I'm trying to remember what's called Sexy Woman. It sounds like Sexy Woman, but it's Sexy Woman or something like that. And in that area, there's a wall, an extremely old wall that looks like it's been turned to glass. And there's an archaeologist named out of Illinois named Frank Joseph. I really like his work. And he has speculated before that wall was melted. It's like glass because there was a nuclear explosion. We're talking back at the time of Atlantis, you know, 10, 12,000 years ago or even longer. But he says that's the only thing that could have caused it. And there are actually parts of the Sahara Desert which are the same, where the sand was literally turned into this green glass. And the temperature would have had to be raised so high that the whole thing just melted like glass from radiation. So, I mean, there's a hidden history there that people don't realize. And it's funny about this place called Sexy Woman in Cusco, because it was just this couple of lines in a book. After reading about 200 or 300 pages, then you run across that and you're saying, how come that's not highlighted anywhere? But it's there. And next time I hope when I go back, I'll check it out. It's not far from downtown, but you got to take a taxi to go up there. But it's a beautiful area. When the Spanish were coming in to take over that part of Peru, the Cusco area, back in the
1531, 28,
around that area.
Pizarro, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pizarro. The Inca warriors almost won the battle. They almost won, believe it or not. Wouldn't that have been amazing? And the Spanish were not very nice to the Inca. They proposed peace terms to them, and they wanted to meet with their leaders. So the leader came down unarmed with his warriors, and all the Spanish did was just kill them mercilessly. You know, so much.
They were heathens. They were heathens.
Yeah, they didn't care. Reptilians, probably. Yeah.
But it's interesting because the gold that Pizarro came away with from the Inca Empire actually financed a lot of the conquest and colonizations. If it hadn't been for finding that
the gold, wouldn't have been able to take over the native peoples like they did. No. Ironically, isn't it? What a shame all that history was lost too, when they melted down the statues and all kinds of precious, beautiful, precious, irreplaceable artworks. Yeah.
Another thing that I remember, you said you went to the museum at Paracas.
Right.
Saw the elongated skulls there.
Right.
And it's interesting because they found this whole group, several hundred, and they dated back to the relative time of when Akhenaten was the pharaoh, and he was he and Nefertiti
also had the same skulls
Nefertiti had a long pointed skull, and Akhenaten was one of the few pharaohs that said, portray me as I am, and he kind of had a pot belly and weird knees and the long skull, and so there's some there's definitely a correlation there between
absolutely. Did you see the elongated skull from one of the members of the Rothschilds? It was on Telegram a couple of months ago. I should have sent it to you.
Yeah, I actually had really long, and
he usually wore a hat, but he was in some sort of gathering, and they had this long, long skull.
Elongated skull, yes.
Yeah, right.
And it's interesting because they found at Paracas, they found figured that it was a mummy of a six-month-old child, or skull of the six-month-old child, and you cannot say that they were bound in their cradle to create that shape, because at 6 months that would not have happened. And also another thing that these skulls didn't have is that when humans are born, we have sutures in our skull.
That's right.
And
that's
a
right.
child is born like, well, I used to call it a little hole in the head, but the fontanelle there. And as the skull grows and the child grows, that fontanelle comes together.
The skulls in Paracas don't have those sutures.
Those have sutures, no.
But the only other skulls that don't have the sutures and are smooth are the grays. Mm-hmm. And there's a local legend among that you hear when you're in Paracas and in Peru, that the local Indians viewed, they landed at the Nazca lines. They came up and tried to establish a hybrid human gray civilization, ET civilization. The local Indians by 500 AD had had enough of them, and they came in and wiped out most of them. That's what the story goes. When you're there, you do hear about that. Yeah, that's an interesting story. The museum in Paracas, we always visit that when we're there as well. There's some fascinating archaeology. The archaeology in that area of Peru is very old, because if you find one level of mummies, if you keep going down in the dirt, you'll find more and more history. There's a book I read recently on Atlantis by Frank Joseph, a good book. And he said that there was back in 1968, there was an archaeology, there was a trawler doing depth surveys of deep water archaeology. And they were doing it for, USGS off the coast of Peru, about 150 miles. And when they put their line out, they put the line out in the ocean to follow the bottom. There was a place about 150 miles off the coast of Peru, and this is fascinating, where they could tell there was a huge pyramid at the bottom and some sort of ceremonial center, because the thing went way up and then down again. Of course, you won't find that, you know, in the media or anything in the scientific journals, but it is documented. They did find it, and it was credible scientists. So there's a lot, I think there's a lot out there in the ocean floor, because when Atlantis was destroyed itself 12,500 years ago, the level of the sea, that I think there was some melting of the polar ice caps, and the water rose significantly, so that it covered up a lot of places, especially Atlantis in the Atlantic Ocean, but also I think too, on the coast, on the west coast of South America, and probably North America too, but we don't know.
All over the world,
you know, it's all hidden. So that's one of the things I think is fascinating. So,
They found that the library at Alexandria, of course, Alexandria's at the delta of the Nile
River, right?
And a lot of the parts of Alexandria, the buildings are underwater now because the water level has risen over the millennia. So basically,
Well, let me tell you a little corollary to that, Carolyn. The library itself exists now in the astral plane in the higher dimensions. It was moved there, and it's in the Aegean Sea off the coast of Greece. And I've been there many times. And it's one of my favorite places to go to. Sometime, if you like, I'll take you on a book trip there. Okay, we can check it out.
There's so much about our history if you look at it that is made up. We have the skulls back in the late 1800s that they would be finding skulls of skeletons giants. Of giants in,
giants,
in North
yeah.
America.
Smithsonian all buried those. I don't know what they did with them.
Well, I think that they were turned into the Smithsonian. And of course, the financiers at that time, we have the Rockefellers and the Carnegies and all of these, you know, the big families, that they just wanted to suppress that information.
It's happening here today, too. It was about 10 years ago. There was a study done by some archaeological students at Evergreen College in Olympia, Washington, and they were excavating a site on a place called Mud Bay, and they found a bunch of giant statues there. I heard about it from locals around the area, and today they're nowhere to be found. Nobody knows about it, taken off, probably ground into some rock quarry. What a shame, huh? They were all facing the sun in one location. They dug out a village that was about maybe 10,000 years old. But it was old, and they had this there, and you know where to be found, gone. They erased the history.
Yeah. Well, there's so much that, you know, we're programmed by our universities and educational systems with textbooks, and you have to read the approved textbooks. But I feel that there's so much about our history that we've been robbed. I mean, I didn't even know that there was a confederation of five nations, like the Iroquois, the Oneida, and back on the east coast of the what's now the United States. And when the first Europeans came over, they found they weren't savages. They found a very cultural, well-organized civilization. They grew crops. They had a governance system, and yet they, when we're taught as kids, it was like, oh, there's a bunch of savages running around. And I think that I get very angry a lot of times because I do a lot of research, historical research, and I find that if you really start digging, that we have been told a lot of
falsehoods,
myths. Yeah, I mean, that's basically, right. And it's it's the conquerors that always seem to write the history. But
they write their his story.
His
story is written.
It's his story
or her story.
Yeah, I mean, this is
right. Her story, his story. Yeah.
So we have we've been deprived of information, a lot of things that come. There was a dig that was done actually in Ontario. That's been about 20, 25 years ago now, mm-hmm. where they actually had found a village, and they were carbon dating everything, and it dated back like 50 or 60,000 years ago. But because that didn't follow the paradigm, is that, everybody, came over to North America, 10,000 years ago across the ice bridge. They just basically threw the whole thing out and said, that can't happen.
Yeah, I know.
That couldn't have happened.
Well, this is astrologically speaking, this is a time of truth, that things that are true will be shown to be true, and those that are false will be shown to be false and fall by the wayside. So it's an exciting time to be alive. And I want to thank you especially for helping me, for joining me on the show today, Carolyn. It's been always a lot of fun to have you with me. We'll be back on the air this Monday, where I'm having Deborah Stillfox from Seattle, Washington. She's a wonderful matchmaker, and I thought she'd be perfect for Valentine's Day. So that's So that's my Valentine's Day show. And also I'll be bringing in, I'll be talking to Professor Einstein tonight and tomorrow, because he wants to give some messages on the power of love. So I'll be channeling him as well. So it should be a great show. And I switch on and off between, I think this Monday I'll be in Vienna, Radio Soul International. So anyway, all the broadcast information is on my website at outofthisworld1150.com. And also be sure to check out the Galactic Wisdom. We'll get that updated this week, Carolyn. We'll do some more videos on that, get that schedule worked out. But we're going to have a lot of wonderful people. It's just $55 for the whole weekend, and you can watch all the videos for up to 6 months. The website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And if you have any questions, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And I want everyone to know that this, that what's going on now, that all of the mandates, so-called mandates, will fail, like over 2 dozen countries now have dropped all restrictions. I'm losing count now. Sweden has.
Yes.
Britain has. Saskatchewan has. Alberta has.
But see, they still have the federal mandates.
Trudeau's not going to be there for very long. Anyway, I don't see him being there for very long.
Yeah. So. It was interesting because the state of Nevada dropped the indoor mask requirement. And when I watched a little video of some elementary students, and as soon as they heard that, the mask mandate had dropped, they were ripping off their mask and they got out of their chairs and they were just going, yay! and it was like, hallelujah! So really, the only holdouts right now are probably the New York State, Washington. Oregon is
going Oregon is opening up of all places.
It's lifting the the outdoor mandates and the indoor ones end of March. And then there's California, but it's just like every place else. It's and in some areas like in Texas and Florida, it's like
what South mandates? Dakota. They were never shut down in the first place, and they're wondering, you know, what's this going on? So, but anyway, usually when you look at dictatorial fascist regimes like Trudeau's regime in Canada, it doesn't last very long, but it's painful while it is going on, and people are standing up. And I want to thank again the truckers so much. What's the name of that website? They have one on a fundraiser on Give, Send, Go. Is that right?
Yeah, Give, Send, Go. And if you're on Telegram, it's called their official page on Telegram is just all one word, Truckers for Freedom.
Truckers for Freedom.
Yeah, and it's the four is spelled out, F-O-R.
Right.
And it's interesting because I watched a little video there was in Canada. There was one of the truckers who happened to be, I think he was probably Jamaican. And he says, you know, thank you, Trudeau, for bringing us all together. We never really realized how bad we had it and how much we're all Canadians until you're telling us that you have to have mandates in order to not have mandates, and how hypocritical is that? And right. You've been more disruptive than we have. We're loving and peaceful here. So
yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, it's going to fail. It's going to fail. All of their stuff initiatives are going to fail. So we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. And did you know in Canberra, Australia, I heard this morning there's over 2 million people there now. Mm-hmm. Protesting against, I mean, it's a domino effect. This is what the negatives are so afraid of. Let's send lots of prayers and love and light to our Canadian friends and to the American truckers as well who are joining them. And the website is at save, send, go. Is that right? It's an interesting name.
Give, send, go.
Give, send, go. Okay.
Give, send, right. Go. When they first switched over after the other one, the GFM.
Yeah.
And an acronym has become, has gone away from GoFundMe to use your imagination what GFM means. But anyway, apparently the Canadian government in Ottawa, I think it was either Ottawa or Ontario, tried to say the
gifts. That's their assets?
Yeah. Well, no, they said that we're going to prohibit you from. We're going to seize the assets. And Give, Send, Go said, not a fat chance. We're a U.S. company and you have no jurisdiction over us. And right. We are going to get the money to the people that need it and have asked for it, period.
Yeah, right. Then there was that judge in Ottawa. What was it last week? Some guy, he ruled that all the truckers should stop honking their horns for freedom. And they responded the next day by honking their horns all day long. They didn't care. I mean, it's to the point where, you know, the whole system is falling apart. You know, nobody, I mean, why should anybody pay attention to Biden anyway? He's a fake president, you know, financed with the finest that Chinese money can buy and the cabal money can buy. The guy's fake. I don't know if you've seen the press conferences where his hands disappear in the CGI screen.
Yes.
I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. Well, the latest thing is about the giving to underprivileged drug addicts free crack pipes. And
what for what? In exchange for what?
Well, I don't know, because they it's like giving them clean needles for something. They get clean crack pipes.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I
think people are waking up to the fact that a lot of things that are going on are totally absurd. And I think that they compare what happened in the summer of 2020 with the different, you know, riots, the Antifa and Black Lives Matter. There was a picture of Trudeau during the BLM protest, and, you know, they were not only to protest, but I guess it's okay. It's better to burn things than to dance around and have kids playing on bouncy toys and all that. But when they had the BLM riots and Antifa riots in Canada, Trudeau took a knee and was, you know, in deference to all these poor people,
ridiculous.
they're so underprivileged that they have to burn everything down. And then yet when these you know, middle-class truckers come in and they say, hey, look, we've had enough of your, right. Your edicts. We've had enough of this nonsense. It's not doing anything to help anybody. More people have died from, young people have died in Canada from overdoses because they got so depressed of being
all locked up. The suicide rate in Washington State has skyrocketed many thousands percent higher before our governor here, Inslee, started instituting his fascist state. So anyway, well, but I want everybody to know there's good times coming and we're helping to create them right now. Stand up against these illegal mandates. We have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. And the dark forces have lost. And they're doing what they can to stop us, but none of what they do is gonna work. Yeah. So,
and I think that's the thing, is that we all have to realize that, you know, we, like I said, we are the saviors. We are the ones that we've been waiting for. And we're powerful, sovereign beings of light and love. And we need to radiate that out. And as we talked earlier, it's like Professor Laszlo was saying, that we need to, you know, we need to walk the talk, and we need to everything that we say and do is to be supportive and has much positive energy. And as like you said, if you can't be positive about something, then it's just to be positively neutral. It's just so that you're not letting that negative energy impact you, because it does. It's every time you react to that, you're feeding back into that a feedback loop of negativity.
Right. Well, I want to thank everyone so much for joining us today. And Carolyn, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit listener supported show. And with today's show, we should have somewhere around a little above 36 million listeners in over 100 countries. And I know the earth is changing for the better. And I just want to thank everyone so much for all your beautiful love and support. And I hope you all have a beautiful and happy weekend. And thank you so much again for listening. And Carolyn, thanks so much for joining us too. It's been so much fun today.
Thank you. My pleasure. And love to everyone. And remember, live, love, light, and laughter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, to Don and Doug for their fantastic support. Thank you, my dear friends. Really appreciate it. Have a beautiful weekend, everyone. Bye-bye. Cheers.